The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you live from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Bill Bond, Wellness Officer at MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas, about wellness programs in the workplace. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. In the news this week, some new information from Harvard Medical School talks about knee arthritis and how to stop it from progressing. And some of it is intuitive, maintaining ideal body weight, don't overstress your knees, work the quads and the hams. But some of it isn't, and in fact, it links us to soda pop, of all things. Here we go. Now, this study presented recently at the annual American College of Rheumatology shares with us that drinking soda may actually be associated with knee problems, but just in men and just in non-obese men, to be more specific. Turns out that more than 5 non-diet soft drinks per week relates significantly to osteoarthritis already started in men. Well, I don't know. Do you think we can be successful in reducing some of that intake? Let me give you some reasons why we should. Why does it happen? Well, some people think that the soft drinks contain phosphoric acid, and some think that that may interfere with calcium absorption and contribute to imbalances. The bone needs calcium that actually lead to loss. Others think that the soda may take the place of healthier foods and healthier drink selections. So soft drink consumption may be associated with decreased intake of protein, milk, and other dairy, fruit, and a variety of other nutrients and vitamins. So what can we do? Well, the ideal scenario is, if possible, reduce soda or soft drink intake to less than 5 drinks per week. Actually, this is better for bones in the knee, in joints, and also for overall hydration, because carbonated beverages are actually dehydrating. Dietitians recommend cutting out soda altogether to help prevent diabetes and obesity. The net, do the best you can. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Bill Bond is the wellness officer at the MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas. He has more than 34 years experience in worksite wellness and serves today in that capacity. Prior to joining MD Anderson, he managed the Tenneco Wellness Program, which received the Washington Business Group on Health's Worksite Wellness Award, the Forbes Healthiest Company recognition, and the C. Everett Koop Health Project Award. In 2006, MD Anderson was recognized as the first healthcare system and NCI Institute to be accredited by the CEO Cancer Gold Standard Organization for their wellness efforts. Welcome, Bill, to Your Holistic Health.
Hi, Dr. Kathy. It's really great to be here. I'm very excited.
Well, you know, chronic disease is everyone's public health issue these days, and most of us have read at least or heard a bit about the Affordable Care Act promoting wellness. Do you think this act is going to continue to influence workplace wellness programs throughout the country? And if so, why?
Yep, it will. And part of that is because it's focused on prevention. I think one thing the Affordable Care Act has done with many of the things that it offers is it underlines for everyone the importance of prevention. And so that's number one. But the second part of that is that it's got some specific things in it that really support wellness programs and their efforts to get people to step up and take the responsibility and accountability for their health.
All right. Most of these, or many of these programs anyway, have lifestyle management components. And it's kind of obvious why employers would want, from a cost perspective, to keep their employees healthy. But how are we going to get that participation to stay high, other than it's the right thing to do?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And I think that's why I've really enjoyed my 34 years in worksite health promotion, because the challenge is not to get people just to step up, but to sustain that. And when you talk about lifestyle management courses, you're talking about linking someone's understanding and awareness of not just health today, but health tomorrow. You know, I'm 65, and the one thing I have yet to really understand is why I can't get younger. And so we all face that problem. And as we get older, of course, we seem to face more opportunity for chronic disease. And so lifestyle management is a big deal. And that's getting people to understand that they really do have control of their health, and that's through the choices they make. And so one thing that wellness programs do really well and work on very hard is not just the awareness part of it, but actually building the skills that people have around their health so that they can make better choices. But the other piece of that, and it's kind of like a three-legged stool. I like to think about our work as a three-legged stool. You know, it's all about the knowledge, it's all about the skills, and the difference between a skill and a knowledge would be, you know, it's one thing to know what I should eat, it's another thing to be able to read the labels on a can and understand how that works so that I can actually make better choices. But the third thing is actually the most important and one of the ones that we work on probably the hardest, and that's commitment. How do we get people to commit to be healthy?
Give us an example.
A good example would be in work sites, work sites are all about teamwork. Work sites are all about the social connections that we make. And so a good example in work sites would be actually putting teams together that work together to be healthy. You know, work sites are all about culture. And one of the terms that you're going to hear a lot in work sites now around wellness is culture of health. And there's tons of different definitions. We haven't, kind of an area, we haven't decided yet really what a good definition is. We've got a lot of definitions to pull from. But I do know it's important. And that means that a worksite values health enough that they give their employees time enough to make healthy choices, and they give them opportunities to work together to be healthy. We've got over 1,000 different departments at MD Anderson. So at MD Anderson, although there isn't an institutional kind of culture of health that we've definitely set up, every single one of those 1,000 different departments has its own little culture, and they're going to do that a little bit differently. And that's important to understand, you know, in work sites. So we try to group people together to support each other, and that's part of what has to happen in work sites if people are going to be healthy and if we're going to sustain their health over the long run. You know, it's just like families. I mean, one of the things we know is that, you know, the way the family lives together either supports or detracts right from our health. If I live in a family where my wife wants to eat fast food all the time, it makes it awful hard for me not to eat fast food. Even a better example would be smoker. If I live with a smoker, it's awful hard not to smoke, and it's awful hard to get away from secondhand smoke or thirdhand smoke. So huge issues when we talk about, you know, setting up peers and teams that can be healthy together.
You know, what I find really fascinating is that of all the venues or the forums in life where we could promote wellness, it ended up being the workplace, perhaps more universally for obvious reasons. But should we expect to see more often than not these wellness programs as we continue on?
Well, think about it. Over 60% of the people work in this country, the working age people. So it's an opportunity to reach people. You know, when you think about the economic times that we're in right now, people working two jobs, you know, just people having a hard time putting, you know, putting things on their table just because of the way the economy is. When you ask people about where stress comes from, almost 42 to 45% of the people are going to tell you it comes from work. So we know we have to do better in the workplace, you know, on a lot of different issues. But the other thing we have in the workplace that we don't necessarily gain in other places is that it's a captured audience. And so we have the opportunity, again, to get people to gain the knowledge, gain the skills, and make the commitment to be healthy. I'll tell you the other group that's really interesting to me that's definitely growing, and I'm in Texas, and I see this growing in Texas for sure, and I think it's growing in other parts of the country, are the faith groups. There are more faith groups now that are working hard to have healthy populations, and I think that's very interesting, too. That's a group that, you know, prays together, you know, sings together, and now they're trying to be healthy together. And again, it goes back to what I said earlier about if we don't do wellness alone. You know, you're probably going to hear me say that a couple of times, you know, but I tell people that all the time. We do not do wellness alone because we don't do life alone. And so, you know, we do this with other people. And so finding a group that we can do this with is important. And I think you're going to see this in work sites. The other part of this is work sites, you know, are trying to make money. And the cost of health is so expensive now that if they don't do these programs, that it's too costly. So they need to have healthy employees. You know, the easiest way to make money in a company when you've got health care is a big issue is just to hire healthy employees. But the problem is people don't stay healthy. As I suggested before, as we age, we have this thing in our head that we believe that as we age, we are supposed to get sick. And what we forget is if we make healthy choices, we don't have to do that.
Well, I'm going to key in on the aspect of faith communities for a minute because I'm fascinated by that. And as luck would have it, our pastor actually did sermon on healthiness and stewardship a couple of weeks ago at church. I can't tell you that I've ever heard that before in all my years, which was thrilling. And I want to talk about that concept of stewardship for a minute, Bill, with you. There's actually a scripture that supports us being good stewards because it is the right thing to do, and that's from 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. So to that end, we really are not alone, and there is a community of two, at least in the beginning, in that stewardship role, and to be a team with two, the Holy Spirit and ourselves, going into another community of support is just, to me, breathtaking. And I love the fact that you embrace that and you're promoting that.
Oh, and I, you know, the model, I'm president right now of National Wellness Institute, and we have a model, and part of our model is about spirituality, you know, which is all about the spirit. And, you know, so that's an important part of the MD Anderson program here is based on that kind of six-component model, and spirituality is an important place. If some of your listeners ever came down to MD Anderson or if you ever came to MD Anderson, you'd feel the spirit around MD Anderson. I mean, it's a huge, you know, we speak 60 different languages, so we're talking about a lot of faiths, a lot of religions. But the spiritual aspect of what we do here at MD Anderson and the belief that we do share this, you know, not just with ourselves, but we share this with others. Others, and we share those with something above us for sure, you know, I think is important when we think about our own wellness. And it's important to think about it that way. I like the scripture you read. I believe that. And my life has been, in a sense, based on, you know, trying to be the best that I could be with the God that I, you know, with the God that I believe in. So
well,
that's an important part of us.
Thank you for that. I want to expand on expectations, and really, this is very well portrayed in the cancer community, I think. If you think positive, this is the mind-body sort of discussion again. Should we be expecting to stay well? Should we be expecting to get well and stay healthy? Should we be expecting to, you know, overcome this cancer? I mean, obviously, I must believe that, or I wouldn't speak it on the air, but do you believe in the power of those words, Bill?
Well, I am a 6-year cancer survivor, and I actually am a 4th-stage cancer survivor. You know, so I'm, You know, I'm what some people would say, oh, my God, the poor man. You know, I mean, I'm a prostate cancer survivor. My grandfather died of prostate cancer. My dad died of prostate cancer. And I was diagnosed at 59. You know, I wish I'd been diagnosed a little bit later. I knew it was coming. But here's what I believe. I believe that the treatment that I get at MD Anderson, and I'm treated at MD Anderson, I believe that the treatment I get at MD Anderson is probably the best in the world. But I also believe that unless I set my body up to be the healing potential temple that it can be, that medicine that MD Anderson gives me might not have an opportunity to work. And I also know that as a cancer survivor, that my attitude, my daily attitude, you know, my prayer life, my meditation life, my life, my relationship with other people, that if I don't keep that positive, that, again, that healing environment that I set up for my treatment to work, you know, the opportunity for that to work is probably not what it should be. Mm. So I know exactly what you're saying because I live that every day. Believe me, as a four-stage cancer survivor, I live that every day. And, you know, people look at me and they say, you know, your resilience is unbelievable. And I remind them, I say, I came from a cancer family. My mother died when I was 51. I mean, my mother died when she was 51, and I was like 17 or 18. And I watched her fight for life for 12 years, and that was pure resilience. I mean, she knew that she was here to give joy to people around her. She was a kindergarten teacher, and she worked hard at that. My dad died, you know, when he was 78. But I watched both of them do this cancer fight. And for them, you know, and fight's probably not a good word, but I watched them do this, and when I was diagnosed, I told my wife, I held her in my arms, and I told her, I said, you know what, we can do this because I know exactly what to do. Someone's modeled that for me, and I know I can do this. And so every day I make that effort.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Bill. It's a very touching testimony. We're going to go to break right now, and when we come back, we're going to talk about incentives in wellness programs. If you're just listening, this is a broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician and will meet with you in person or by telephone or Skype if you're out of town. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a live broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and tonight we're talking with Bill Bond, Wellness Officer at MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas. So, Bill, what types of incentives? We've got carrots and sticks. I want to hear about the carrot incentives that are used in these wellness programs and what role do they play in help gaining employee compliance?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because we're in a we're in a realm right now where we actually have a term now, you know, where people make a living being behavioral economists. And so we've got a lot of literature around incentives right now. I mean, there's a lot to look at. And what we know, you know, at this time, and we're building literature every day, but what we know right now is you can't pay people enough to be well. I mean, it just doesn't do that. You know, you can give people money for and things for so long, but you can't pay them enough to be well. I mean, there are a lot of good examples in the literature of, you know, paying people and health just not being sustained over time. The other thing we're seeing, though, is we're seeing a lot of creative things that people are doing with money and discounts on healthcare premiums and gift cards and a lot of things like that to get people to step up and start something. And that's an important thing for us to understand, is that incentives are great for getting people to step up. Let's say that you have a diabetic that's just not been able, you know, they've been a diabetic all their life, they're you know, they just don't believe in themselves anymore. They have low confidence, but they'll step up for $100. And once they've stepped up and you get that those knowledge and skills and you maybe you get that commitment going a different way, then all of a sudden they've lost 119 pounds or whatever it is, and they're off their diabetes medication that they've never been off their whole life. So there is a place for incentives. We're just not quite sure, because the literature is so young, you know, kind of how far it's going to go. But definitely people are using carrots, and I think they're using them in creative ways. Lotteries, one thing in the literature, lottery shows some good potential, because people like that kind of that use of lotteries. So lots of things happening.
Well, I'm also curious, the coaching element and the repeat encouragement for adherence and compliance has to have a role in incentives, does it not?
You bet. I mean, I think the other thing that we've learned, you know, when we look at the programs that are going on right now, we realize that coaching is important. That one-to-one, that relationship, or even some of the group stuff that goes on, you know, that's important. People need to have customized, you know, when I was listening during the break about you know, your practice, you know, in a way that's what coaches need to be able to do. They need to be able to customize and personalize for an individual, you know, so that an individual can really be successful. You know, it's not a cookie-cutter business. And so the coaching part of that, in a way, the coaching part becomes an incentive for a person. To be touched by a coach and to have someone that, you know, is kind of on your team becomes an incentive for some people, you know, just that relationship with the coach. And what's neat about coaching right now is that we're seeing a lot of different modalities: telephonic coaching, face-to-face coaching, email coaching, Skype coaching, video conference coaching. I mean, there's just a variety of different ways that you can do that. And a lot of good coaches mix that. You know, you've got coaches, let's say, in California that are coaching people in, you know, in New York City. And yet that person in New York City feels that tie because of, you know, because of the use of technology. And so there's a lot being done right now with coaching and the mix of incentives. And then the other part that's really kind of interesting is the social networking part right now. From a worksite wellness standpoint, we know that what's important is to hook someone up with someone that, in a sense, is going to be their buddy or their teammate, and in a sense, help, you know, go along the journey with them. One of the things we've done at MD Anderson is that, and we just kind of walked into this one, we, you know, I had a new coach, and he asked me one day, he said, Bill, you know, I called this person to set up a coaching appointment. She asked if she could bring a friend, and I said, well, I guess so. Let me ask my boss. And I said, sure. You know, and what we found was that if a person brings a friend or brings multiple friends, they set up what we call a small change group. And that small change group, when you look at it over 4 to 6 weeks, they actually make more change and are more successful than an individual, because they're doing it together and they're doing it for each other. And what we find is in those small change groups, they want to re-up to be another small change group almost 40 to 50% of the time.
I love it. I love it. And my best for continued success in that small change group sort of strategy, because I think we should all be doing that kind of stuff for multiple reasons.
Let me make a comment, too, you know, with some of the comments that you've made. In my religious studies, you know, in my study of the Bible, you know, that's what small change group is all about, right? It's a small group that studies together. You bond together. You know, you get close in the sense of your, you know, your feelings toward the Lord and your feelings toward each other. And that's exactly what a small change group does. You know, I think one of the power of these faith communities is if they added some pieces of wellness in some of their groups that they do, that they not only have healthier, you know, members, but they bond a little bit differently. And I think that would be tremendous.
Maybe that's going to be your next career, Bill.
Maybe so.
You never know.
You never know.
Well, we're getting up on the closing moments of our show. Let's talk a little bit about where listeners can go for more information on just workplace wellness programs in general, and as well the work that you're doing at MD Anderson, please.
You know, the best place to go for sure is go to the Center for Disease Control. You can go out to Google, and you could just Google Center for Disease Control Wellness in the Workplace. They've got several different sites. They've got a National Healthy Worksite program going on. NIOSH has a Total Worker Health program going on. So that's a great place to start. The National Wellness Institute that I mentioned, they could Google that and get some information there. There's a program called WellCOA, Wellness Councils of America. But the other place to go from a business standpoint is SHRM, the Society for Human Resource Management. They've got some good free stuff, you know, that you can pick up, some really good stuff out there. And then the old Disease Management Association is now called Care Continuum Alliance, and it's got some fantastic materials. I am amazed at what, I mean, we're talking almost books that you can download for nothing from the Care Continuum Alliance. And then one more, and this is a kind of a collaboration between the federal government and a partnership here, and that's called Partnership in Prevention. And they've got some really neat examples of how CEOs can really step up or senior management can step up and lead their companies to be more healthy. And those are called Lead by Example. So some really good resources out there that cost nothing.
Awesome. Well, we're all out of time, and I'm going to just say thank you so much to Bill Bond for being our guest with us tonight, Wellness Officer at MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas. Sounds like some incredible work that's being done there, and I hope you'll all check that out. This is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, your host of Your Holistic Health. I'm going to wrap up with the quote of the week, and it's from Warren G. Harding, the 29th President of the United States, and a quote that's very appropriate today. America's present need is not heroics, but healing. Not nostrums, but normalcy. Not revolution, but restoration. How appropriate even today. You are invited to my website online at rxintegrativesolutions.com for a library of health-related articles I've written just for you. Please tune in again next week at this same time to hear Kim Benz, partner of Wondering's Lavender and Herbs Farm in Clarksville, Ohio, talking to us about the healing benefits of lavender on the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for Your Holistic Health.